Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Face to Face. This is a show about change and about what's next. It's a show that wants to ask questions, peel back the layers of our average everyday experience, and go beyond scratching the surface. We interview amazing people with incredible ideas and stories who have done wild, weird, and wonderful things. Remember that imagination shared creates collaboration, and collaboration creates community, and community inspires social change. I'm David Peck, and this is Face to Face. So my next interview is with Mina Shum, and what a delight to have her on again. I think for the third time, actually. She's the only guest that I've actually had on Face to Face for three different interviews. We spoke about her film Ninth Floor a couple of years ago, actually, and now we're back to talk about her new film starring Sandra Oh and Don McKellar, Meditation Park. It's a delightful film. It's charming. It's about identity and voice. It's about how most of us are always coming of age, it seems to me. And Mina is just such a delight to chat to. And I actually think she should be teaching a course in sociology or philosophy and maybe leave this filmmaking thing behind. But we talk about the falsity of capitalism and our neighbors and the triumphs and obstacles that we face and about the journey that we're all on. Buddhism and existentialism make their way into this conversation as well. And what a delight. The noise, as Mina says, the noise of raising a family. How interesting is that? You're going to find out more about it. I hope you get to see the film soon. Meditation Park is the name. And coming right up, an interview with Mina about the film and about a whole lot of other things. DavidPeckLive.com for more information about my speaking and writing. And of course, focusing on the film festival right now, currently, at face2facelive.ca for over 30 interviews, I believe it or not, over the next little while. And don't forget rabble.ca too for a whole lot of other writing and podcasting and blogging around issues that matter. Coming right up, Mina Shum and her new film, Meditation Park. Welcome to Face to Face. We're joined by a returning, very special guest here at the Toronto International Film Festival. Mina Shum is here today to talk about Meditation Park. I can't believe we're sitting together again, maybe
2 years.
Is it 2 years?
Yeah.
How crazy is that? I think the last time we spoke was at the National Film Board, which has relocated even. So
that's right. Yes,
just the
that's
world
right.
is changing around us.
Constantly.
So Meditation Park. So where is Meditation Park?
It's actually a park in East Vancouver.
Okay.
Hastings Sunrise area. It's actually a tiny little park.
Yeah.
It's right on the water. There is a meditation park, but there's the park that we use in the film is a different one.
Okay.
But it's still in the neighborhood. It's just that other park was there was visually nothing.
Oh, okay.
But I loved the fact that in my neighborhood we had a meditation park.
Yeah, no, it's lovely.
But it's like it isn't just the place, it's also a metaphor. I mean, I think we're all in meditation park. Yeah.
Is that where what will be referred to later as the infamous earphone dance scene? is that where that happens?
No, that actually takes place at New Brighton Park,
okay.
which is also in the neighborhood.
Okay,
like, I
nice.
Pretty well shot the movie in my hood.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was really so cool that I could walk home for lunch to my house.
Something really relational and intimate about that, which is, by the way, congratulations on a delightful, charming, wonderful film.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a great, what I love is it's a great film, but it's a great story. Right?
Thank you.
And they're not always the same thing.
Right. Yeah.
So your comment, we're all in Meditation Park.
Yeah.
The relationships we have, the conversations we have, the places we work, is that kind of
the obstacles we face, right. the triumphs we face. I think it's so funny. So I moved into that neighborhood and I saw men and women of different ages and cultures selling parking and competing with each other. And immediately I was like, this is a metaphor because here this is sort of like homegrown capitalism
sure.
at work.
Sure. Sure.
And at the same time, they're taking turns. They're living. You're competing with your neighbors for parking.
Right,
so you're not going to outrun someone and throw them out of business. You want to make sure they're still okay.
Sure,
right?
They're making a little.
They're making a little. Yeah. They're making their share of. We're
That's
all
right.
making our
yeah.
share.
Yep. Yeah.
And it just dawned on me. It was like, what a beautiful metaphor for a new societal model, in which we. And you see our society, you see humanity moving towards it. We're resisting, but now we realize we have limited resources.
Mm.
Now we realize we don't have any control.
Nice.
All
yeah.
we have is our neighbors, right?
Yeah.
So why aren't
That's
we
good.
Including each other? Why are we excluding each other?
What a great line. That could have been the log line. All we have is our neighbors.
All we have is our neighbors. Yeah, I mean, now we know scientifically that we're all connected, right? We know that on a cellular level, the dinosaur bones are somewhere in our DNA.
Mm-hmm.
That everything that's ever been made on this earth somehow is inhabiting in our body. Well, that means we are all connected.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand in a world of where fear. I think it's like the capitalist system a little bit, the falsity of capitalism, which is like, you know, if you have more, you will somehow be
yeah.
immortal.
Sure. Yeah.
Because we act out of fear when that is not. I don't think that's
right.
our nature.
Right. Right.
Like if we were cave people, you see another cave person. There may be enemy attacks, or there may be, what do you got? You got some coconuts? I got some rice? Okay,
right.
let's make dinner, right?
Right, sure.
That was how society formed. That's how civilization began in terms of us, different people. Like in the Neanderthal times, there was different species of humans. There was Homo sapiens, there was the Neanderthals. They were all living together in some kind of harmony or some sort of... mutual respect, I guess, right? So I see that and I go, well, that times capitalism equals we're all trying to get a bit of our own now,
right.
suddenly, which is draining the resources of our world, which is creating
yeah.
a lot of fear in everybody. I don't, and it's not necessary.
Every man and woman for themselves,
yeah.
in a sense. There's no such thing as a free lunch.
That's right. That's right. And I just, I find, like, I
is
did.
That Don, is that Don McKellar in the film? By the way,
yes.
What a delight to see Don McKellar and Sandra Oh. I'm a huge fan of Last Night.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Honestly,
yeah.
poster frame to
me
my
too.
Wall. One
Love
of my
that
favorite
film.
Films.
Love
most,
that film.
Can I say it's one of the most highly underrated films of all time? I mean, I want everyone to see it.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah,
it is so
it's
good.
It's just so wonderful on so many levels. So is that Don McKellar in the film? He's on the other side of the street. He's undercutting them quite a bit.
He is, yeah.
Like by 50%.
Yes, that's right. But then we find out why.
Right.
And
yes.
he's told very directly yeah, in communication yeah. what he's doing wrong, as opposed to just snickering in the corner
yeah.
about him. Maria has the nerve to tell him what's
yeah.
wrong.
Yeah.
And I think if you were going to take that microcosm of a relationship, if you actually take that and go, I'm having a little problem with this company, if I could actually talk to them, if they could listen to me,
right.
they actually hear me,
right, right,
that they admit their mistake and feel rightful remorse, and then we can move on.
Sure, yeah.
We're never going to be in a society where there isn't conflict.
Yeah.
We can't help it. It's how we resolve the conflict. I have a kid, and one of the things I say when he fights with his cousins is, I look at them because they're old enough now, I go, you guys figure that out, find harmony.
Right,
that's
right.
your job.
Come up with a solution.
Find
yeah,
harmony
sure.
amongst yourselves. And I'm always like, when they're in disharmony, I go, does that feel good?
Yeah.
That doesn't feel good. You
yeah.
hate him right now. Who are you punishing?
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So so Don's character really came out of, like, I wanted to have, in the common narrative that we see in media, we would have a person of color being othered, and the majority group going, that person of color is doing it wrong. So I flipped it, right, where I have all the Chinese ladies looking at the white guy going, he's doing it wrong.
Yes.
And Maria understanding, what if his point of view is the same thing?
Right.
So and then to find out that he has a deeper, richer conflict that he's going through that parallels Maria, that's life, man. We all are looking for a piece of shade. And
yeah,
we're all
good.
Trying to find
so
happiness.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the things, actually, when you, from an acting perspective, even the most evil villain does not think they're being bad.
Mm.
He's trying to find happiness. And I think deep down there is, when we're born as babies, we're just trying to find safety.
Well, I think this is what's kind of so hard to watch the family dynamic. Because really, isn't that what it's about in the film, in the story? And it's so—I mean—and again, what is this film about? It's about trust and family and betrayal and finding oneself. You know, so many things we could talk about, which is so lovely. Oh, and I have to ask: is it really a coming-of-age film for people who are in their middle age?
I think so. Yeah.
It's like, and you know, aren't we all kind of coming of age
constantly?
Hey, there you go.
Constantly.
That's exactly.
Every
right.
morning I wake up and I'm coming of age.
Yeah. It's so true. We think of it as some sort of teenage puberty like kind of experience.
Yeah, and we think growth is I'm there now.
Yeah.
You're never there.
Yeah. I've got the job, I've got the house and so on, and now I can kind of
coast.
I mean, I think there's something about you know what I was going to say, rest. You have to rest.
Right.
But coast maybe is the sort of the more what we want to stay away from.
Right.
Aren't they all just trying to get there in some way? Like trying to find that contentment or that happiness, as you say, in their own way.
Yeah, because, well, one of the big, I think the big theme and one of the underlying things, and I wrote about it in my lighting notes to the team, which is...
pretty cool.
Yeah, it's this idea that the mortar coil.
Mm.
Which we don't talk about.
Oh, death.
We pretend.
Death comes up in a big battle.
Oh, in my film it does.
Between the eyes.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But I think in life we don't.
Mm-hmm.
I think we pretend. Like, I don't understand why I would be mean to someone knowing they were going to die someday.
Right.
Knowing that they struggle with that and the existential angst of their purpose here.
One direction we can go, and it's not good news.
Yeah, that's right.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
He's so good in that performance.
Yeah, very much so. So I have to ask too, the establishing shot in the film with the underwear and the clothesline.
Yeah.
I mean, it's totally intentional. Yes.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Oh my God. It's written into the script.
Yeah.
The beige of their underwear reveals the state of their relationship, I think, is what's written in the script.
Mm.
And it was really quite funny because we had a little gaffe that day where they didn't buy me enough underwear. And they had like one piece of, I was like, who hangs out one piece of underwear?
I thought this was going to be a meaningful conversation. now we're talking about underwear.
Yeah, we're talking about underwear. Yeah. But we actually had to wait to get more underwear for me to shoot
hysterical.
The scene because I was like, I wrote it in the script, you guys didn't bring me enough underwear. So you know what they did? They... In my neighborhood, where the film was being made, they knocked on people's doors and said, got any underwear? And
gold.
So the underwear that's hanging on the line is actually the Italian woman's who lives down the street.
Oh, that's fantastic. And does she get credited in the film?
No.
Oh, come on. I want
she
to
gets
talk
my
to
heart.
Agent.
She
right.
She gets my heart. I mean, that I was just like, you knocked. I said to, because it was a newer set decorating team. And she just was like, I'm so desperate, I'm just going to knock on... Everybody knows we're filming here. Everybody knows you live in the neighborhood. It was the perfect beige.
It's perfect. Knowing what the film is about. What is it really, you know, so you're in a 3-minute interview and you're looking for a couple quick sound bites and somebody on camera says, so what is Meditation Park really about for you? I mean, because for me, it's just so nuanced and layered,
right?
Because it's life.
Right. Yeah, what is it about for me? I was so driven to create this character.
Hmm.
All I ever want to do is make her come to life.
Hmm.
And I feel like all the goodness that came to the film, all the cast, all the creative collaborators,
yep.
they wanted to see her come to life. That was what, to see a hero.
Hang on, come to life, you don't mean come to life in I want to create her, but come to life in the film itself, because that's essentially what happens.
Yes.
Right.
No, I think create her.
Oh, okay.
Just to be able to create, we've never seen a hero like this.
Oh, okay.
We've never seen someone go through this as, and it was, I definitely wanted to, from a directing standpoint, I want this very intimate, nuanced story to be given an epic treatment. Hmm. That she is, to me, like, I'm talking to the composer about music and the sound designer, and I'm like, we have to have moments that are Superman moments, that are Marvel moments, but that are completely grounded in reality. Because I think those little, for her to confront her husband, for her to tell Gabriel, look him in the eye, this guy that she doesn't know, and tell him what he's doing wrong, those are her diehard moments when she breaks into, you know, jumps out the window and the bomb goes off in the background. Yeah. Yeah.
Diehard. Yeah. 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 Very funny.
I wanted to create a hero that was that looked different than what we see, but that anyone could inhabit.
Mm.
So that if she is a hero and that we feel her journey, that's great.
Yes.
But then also, we may never look at someone again with the same eyes, because you don't know what a person is going through. Your assumptions are assumptions, right?
It's so true. Mm-hmm. We're so quick to judge. We're so quick to jump to
conclusions. Are you just reading people? You're like, I read them. It's like, nah, you didn't read them.
Yeah.
Actually, the Gabriel character is suffering a loss, and that's why he's being such an asshole.
Yeah.
This is him grieving, you know?
Yeah, exactly. One of the things that really struck me that you bring out so beautifully is the care and concern for the two of them, the husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, we end up in an affair.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think there is, and you tell me if I'm wrong on this, but there's a genuine tenderness.
Oh, yeah.
The little massage, old woman, an old man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like all that lovely stuff that you would do, I think, after being married for so many years.
Yep.
And yet we wind up in an affair, we end up in almost an oppressive relationship in some respects.
That's right.
That's kind of crazy to me that those can be two kind of held in.
Well, no one, what is it, Churchill, right? No one ever oppresses you without your permission. Hmm. And so it was important that everything that, all the love that Maria gives and all the love that Bing gives, that it was real and grounded. Mm-hmm. Because I think, like, you know, the actor who plays Bing, we talked about, first thing he asked me when he landed in Vancouver was, I could play him as a complete asshole. And I said, no. I said, you are the most charming man. You are, in fact, having an affair because you're so fucking scared of dying that you are willing to take care of that anxiety outside of the house.
Right.
If surprises happen, you get tempted, you're weakened, but the whole time, your love for the family, your desire to bring a better life to your children, that has always been at the forefront of your mind.
And that's utterly genuine.
It's utterly
genuine.
This
is not some sort of an excuse. I mean, even though I guess every kid has heard that from their parents in some way, right?
Right, right, yeah.
But the way it comes across is this was a huge... huge risk, came with a great cost.
Yes.
And this is, I couldn't help but, I mean, one of my, so many favorite lines, but the other one, I'm pretty sure he leans over to Sandra's baby, his granddaughter, I guess. Is that right? And says, hope you're, no, or was it?
Oh, it's her. Pepe says it.
Yeah,
May your journey be more uneventful than mine.
Yeah, more uneventful than mine. Yeah. Tear to the eye kind of moment.
Right, yeah.
And yet, those events are what brought us here.
That's right. Yeah.
Right? And made us who we are.
Yeah, there's a Buddhist saying, the challenges that we come by, embrace them, because they did not come easily.
Mm.
So, and I love that, because that's true. I think it's true. And it's a lovely way of, whether you believe or don't believe it, I think it's better to believe it, because you at least take your foot forward expecting goodness. Even though you're in a very dark place and something horrible has happened that's challenging, if you know that, if you believe that there is something to be learned by that challenge, I think that gives you a more positive foot forward.
You know, I think it's really interesting. There, in this, the I'd love to chat with this husband and wife from a therapeutic perspective and say, so how did you guys get to this place in your love for one another, mm-hmm. that where she goes and confronts the young woman and says, will you take him back?
Yeah.
And there was a part of me that thought, okay, this is kind of weird that she would do that, but I'm sure that kind of thing does happen. But to be able to get there, to actually be able to say, you know what, he's a better person if you're in his life as well. I mean, right. Isn't that...
Also, that, I get my life.
I get my life back. Yeah.
If you're with doing what you're doing. Yeah. Yeah. There's a culture in... A cultural conceit in my world, which is men have had concubines. They have had... My grandfather had a mistress that lived... Ended up moving in with the family.
Wow.
So it's just... It's funny, and then when I gave the script to Pepe and Ty's agent, Andrew, he was like, "Ah, man, he's Chinese." He was like, "You just have to scratch the surface in any story, and there's infidelity in our community." Hmm. But I also think, like, if you look at the statistics, isn't it 50%? Right?
I don't know what the stats are, but it's probably pretty high.
It's 50, well,
and,
yeah.
again, and then
that
how,
are reported.
How,
that report, we'll admit.
Reported, yeah. And how do you actually define it? Capital I infidelity, small I?
Right, right, right. Right.
You know, there's
true.
That whole emotional kind of thing
right.
Which, as some say, is worse.
Is worse.
Than the physical
right.
kind of relationship.
Right.
It's it's so beautifully captured. And I mean, can you tell me a little bit about that saving face? There's a certain theme mm-hmm. for me. Every festival, every time I interview Hot Dog, whatever it is, there seems to always be a theme, whether it's doc film or not. For me, after a few interviews, voice and identity, which clearly are themes mm-hmm. in your film. Mm-hmm. Holy cow! Talk about existential sort of. passion and commitment,
right?
But also just that sense of I don't know, being found out in front of others, right?
Yeah.
Losing face. I don't want you to really know what's going on.
When
in fact the irony of figuring out who we really are, we got to get there.
Yeah.
Got to be transparent. Got to be authentic.
And I think intimacy only comes when we are. Mm. I live in an earthquake zone. It surprises, and so I'm.
Is that on your business card? I live in the earthquake zone. Yeah.
No, but I think it because I know if there was an earthquake, we would all come out and be neighborly and help each other. I know that.
It's so horrible, but it's so true.
Right?
Yeah. Of course.
But yet
you do.
We walk by each other all day long, and we don't see each other. We don't even acknowledge each other. So.
Well, we are Don McKellar in a sense.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
In the film.
Yeah.
We're going to steal your business.
But isn't life more fun to get into it with everybody? I think. I mean, I guess maybe it's also my own, I know my neighbors. I'm very connected to the community I live in, and that's enriched me. I know, for instance, Don, he has felt connected with his neighbors when his wife passed, Tracy. And so that was one of the reasons he wanted to do the movie. Mm. He was just like, oh my God, this is my Spanish immigrant neighbor who didn't speak English came and made me tea every day. And she couldn't speak, and she lost her husband, and I lost my wife, and we would just sit there. And that kind of connection, it's like he's able to be, I think if we're able to be vulnerable with each other, I think it's really funny thinking, like, that's why an earthquake would do it, right? Because then we realize we're ultimately vulnerable.
Do you know what's interesting? I found, I don't know if it's been your experience, but, and this is probably going to sound, you know, arrogant and condescending, which I've been accused of being before, but you're in a room, and it's a little tense, and it's a little off, and there's clearly people aren't being vulnerable. Maybe it's a party or whatever. Mm-hmm. Somebody swears, or somebody says something really vulnerable, or really, you know, puts their brokenness out on the table, mm-hmm, wears mm-hmm. their heart on their sleeve in a way that's mm-hmm. really intimate. And mm-hmm. it can, I don't know that it always has, but it does, it breaks the barriers down.
Yeah.
Certainly one-on-one with people that you meet for the first time, because they're not expecting it.
No, that's right? Yeah.
So it can also shut you down, I guess.
Right.
But I'm with you. I mean, why wouldn't you want to share?
Yes. It's not time and place, not always appropriate.
Fair enough.
I'm not going to break down in front of that reporter that is going national with the story, right?
Oh, come on. That'd be a great story.
I'm not going to do that. But
Twitter would go crazy.
But there's still, like, I can be human.
Yes. Yeah.
In spite of that, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's... I think there was a... I saw a great TED Talk, actually, about vulnerability as being a source of strength. And I think we don't know that. I think we're told to... There's something about don't cry, something about don't show, you know, always be strong. So, yeah, no, you know what? Vulnerability can breed strength.
So can I riff off, I think it's Maria's character when she says, you know what's wrong in your heart?
Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
So I would say you're right, but I think that we do know what's wrong. We do know vulnerability is the right way.
Yeah.
But we ignore it because it's too hard or it's uncomfy. And it's kind of like that funeral thing. What do you say to somebody whose partner, wife, husband, children have just died? Or pet,
yeah.
even.
Yeah.
You know? How about, right. I'm sorry, and I don't know what to say, but...
Yeah.
What, can I help? What can I do? Can
right.
I phone you? Can I drop off a meal? Do you need a hug or,
yeah.
or whatever?
Yeah.
You know?
I think all of the above.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I think
same.
just saying I'm here, I'm just here.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know, I really don't
I'm
need...
I'm available.
I always say go slow when nice. Anybody goes through a transition.
How about, you know, and that's another, for me, your film, Back to Meditation Park. I mean, mm-hmm. how beautiful it is it that in Meditation Park, it seems to me, we need to be listening, right?
Yeah,
and then in the marriage, where did they stop listening really to one another at some point? They clearly love each other. There's mm-hmm. no question there.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, listening to our neighbors, to the people on the street, to the TV reporter mm-hmm. that you don't want to break down in front of, and mm-hmm, so on.
Mm-hmm,
and so on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think this. It's not. It's. Did they stop listening to each other? Did they stop listening to themselves?
Right. Right. Right.
There's something about the noise of raising a family. And becoming
phrase.
Adults, right?
Yeah.
That you just don't, it's like, give me a moment of silence. And so I wonder I'm of a very different generation, but I wonder if Bing would have turned to his wife and said, I'm fucking scared about dying. Mm. I don't want any of this to end.
Mm.
Conversations I've had with my partner,
mm-hmm.
I don't feel the need to go and step out.
Right. Right.
Because I can share that vulnerability
right.
with my partner.
Right. Right.
In their generation, in that society, that was not something you did. A
right.
man was the immigrant man who took his family and said, I will provide and take care of you.
Sure, sure.
And loved the role.
Right.
Until
right.
he starts facing his own demise.
Right.
Maybe he realizes that he can't run as fast as he used to. You know,
right.
all that starts to seep in, and yet you're not allowed to express it.
Yeah. yeah.
So I think that might have been, like, not only... I don't know if they stopped listening to each other so much as they didn't listen to themselves. And that's really important at the coming of age
yes,
as we get
yes,
older.
Yes.
It's not, it doesn't stop. It's just
yes.
like, do I really want to do the thing I've been doing for the last 9 years? Maybe not. We should feel like we have the freedom to choose. It just takes courage sometimes.
I kind of feel like there could be a sequel.
I know, that's you're the third person,
person. Yeah, based on, I mean, the way it ends, right,
yeah.
with the music and the
yeah,
lights
yeah, yeah.
And so on,
yeah.
Without giving it away.
Yeah.
Probably not a sequel in mind.
I don't think so.
No.
I mean, I did joke with the Popois going, you guys need your own TV show, except for your Encyclopedia Browns in your neighborhood. You guys are solving all the crimes that are happening, all the altercations in the neighborhood. But I think we are the sequel to Maria.
Mm, nice.
Our lives, how we take,
so
how
good.
We watch the movie
so
and take it
how
forward.
How come you're not teaching a university course? What the hell are you doing making movies? Maybe you should do both.
Oh, yeah, I don't think it's
course,
funny.
A course on existentialism, I think.
Yeah. I really, like, part of the film is structured. The directing hand in it is I want the audience to be very culpable in the experience. So it's not ba-dum-bump jokes off the top.
Right.
It's very funny, too.
There's some, it is.
Yeah. But we're there with her. We're in the room in the quiet. We're looking at her from the thong's point of view.
Right.
It's very deliberate that we inhabit the character. We're culpable in creating the experience
yes.
of the film.
Yes.
And that we're listening to each other titter in the audience,
yeah.
right? And to build to the big laughs,
yeah.
to build to the bigger moments. And so it completely makes sense that
yeah.
you become Maria and you
yeah.
take that
yeah.
on
so good.
At the end.
Well, isn't this what we have to do? To take other people's perspective, see the world through another lens, another perspective.
That's right.
It's set in the present day, and
yeah.
yet I feel like it was about 1972.
Right.
Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Just based on the furniture,
the drag scene, the
music.
Yeah.
And I know, and sadly, you know, we have to wrap it up.
And I'm paying homage to 70s films in the way she's spying, too.
Nice.
Because there's a thing, immigrants often, when they get to the new country, they stop at whatever age they got. They only listen to the music from the time they landed.
Their moral values
have not grown. Like a Chinese family in Hong Kong would have continued to progress into the social media world.
Right.
But a family who's immigrating brings that package and holds on to it dearly. And so you get stuck in time.
Stuck in time, past memory, all of that. Did Sandra Oh say to her mom in the film something, she's so funny, something like, I got 4 hours of sleep last night.
I'm good.
I mean, my Elizabeth, my wife, would appreciate that way more than me.
Right.
But I still, as a dad, I get it. It's just so funny.
And it's so subtle. She's like, I'm totally
so
good.
Subtle.
Well, it's
so
actually, I think I wrote in the script, I got 4 hours of sleep, I'm good. And then the stage direction is, she's so not. And that's all I need.
What a delightful film. Thank you. And what a delightful conversation. I can't wait till we can
do it again.
Thank you so much. Talking here today with Mina Sham about her film, Meditation Park, at the Toronto International Film Festival. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.